right, welcome to the Tipsy Theology Podcast. This is a Whiskey Wednesday monologue with Trey. So before we get into the topic for today, I'm having a little fun with these little sound bites or whatever you call them. I'm not into media stuff, so I don't know. But yeah, it's just me today on the podcast. This is my second attempt at recording this because the last one, the microphone was wrong and the audio was terrible. So here we are. I recorded that one a couple of weeks ago. So hopefully this one is just as good or better than that one was. But I mean, only time will tell. If you want to get that other recording though, maybe we'll throw it up on our Patreon. Patreon? Did somebody say Patreon? I don't know anything about a Patreon. Anyway, so the topic for today, if we get a drum roll, please. Oh, I'm having too much fun with this. Here we go. Drum roll. What's the topic? Deconstruction. I want to talk about deconstruction, and I want to aim this talk at two different categories of people. I want to aim it toward those who are going through deconstruction, have gone through a deconstruction process, or those who have a sort of bias, might be the right word, against it. They've heard things about what deconstruction is, and they don't like it. They don't think it fits into the Christian faith. And I want to say that it does. I want to say that deconstruction is part of being faithful to Christ. If you're against it, then I just ask, hey, hear me out. Let's see what Trey has to say about this topic and see if I can just change your mind. Like, let me just see. Let's just see if I can change your mind. So, first of all, some background. I gave this background in the other episode, so maybe it's on Patreon, maybe it's not. So I might go more detail on that. But, you know, deconstruction was, we're using the language of Jacques Derrida here. This was part of his philosophy. And his idea of deconstruction had to do with literary, like how do we understand the meaning of text? And maybe even further, how do we understand the meaning of language and sentences put together that, like, how do we interpret these things? And since then, deconstruction has gone on to mean something even broader than that. And especially in the Christian community, it means, you know, it really means opening up and starting to question the things you've believed. I mean, this can happen outside of your Christian faith too. Like, maybe you were raised in a small conservative town and you start to wonder, well, maybe I don't believe everything about, you know, conservative politics. Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe you're raised in a city and so you're more likely to have liberal beliefs, and you're questioning, well, maybe I don't agree with all of these beliefs, right? That's what deconstruction is. It's opening yourself up to question what you've always believed and how you've always lived and acted. And you know, I want to say that this is what Jesus did. Jesus deconstructed the Jewish faith in two ways. I think, one, he never abandoned the Jewish Hebrew scriptures, right? But what he did do was interpret them for that day. So he interpreted them for his location, for 0 AD Israel, that time period. They understood the scriptures differently than when they were written. And in some ways, Jesus interpreted so it fit the context of his day better. And in some other ways, he went beneath what the Hebrew scriptures were trying to say and pulled out the true essence of what the scriptures were getting at. So I think we can make a strong case that what Jesus did was could be under the umbrella of deconstruction. I think definitely the Protestant reformers, they deconstructed the Catholic faith, right? And then that's how we ended up with all these Protestant denominations, right? We have Presbyterians, we have Lutherans, Methodists, Baptists, Assembly of God. I mean, Pentecostals are almost their own different thing, but they're still, they were birthed out of the Protestant Reformation, right? And I mean, the basis of deconstruction is just trying to get back to the heart of truth and love and questioning, you know, how we came to these conclusions. I think of René Descartes. He was a deconstructionist. He is famous for this idea of we call it the cogito. It's I think, therefore I am. His idea and perception of reality began to crumble beneath him. I actually have a quote of his. He said he came to this point where he believed that there were no conclusive signs by means of which one can distinguish clearly between being awake and being asleep. So he could not prove that he was actually real and that this wasn't just some kind of dream. And then he built his basis of reality on his understanding that because he could think, he existed. And from this, he realized that it was also necessary that there also be a God. And I don't want to, he set out to prove God with certainty. And I think part of what I want to get into in this episode is there's no certainty about it. And that's kind of a driving force behind the deconstruction movement. But here's what he said about God. I just think this is a great way to talk about God. And I mean, and because it's Descartes, I think it's especially, you know, good for this episode. He said, "A God who is all powerful and by whom I was created and made as I am." This is part of his essential understanding of reality and what he built his foundations for existence on. So one thing I want to say about deconstruction is it is hell. It is a holy hell. In 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about us being saved as if through fire. And I think this is a great metaphor for what the deconstruction process is like because if you open yourself up to questions of what you've always believed, you start to question these things, you start to doubt some things. What happens is the chaff gets burned off and the wheat remains, right? That's the thing with fire, is fire purifies hard metals, right? It purifies those things that are worth a lot of value. But those things like paper burns in fire, right? If you are wrapped in a theology of paper, that paper is going to burn away. But what is true and real is going to stand firm. And these are the things that won't be burned away by fire. Fire can't burn these things away. So I'll take a sip of my whiskey because I'm ranting. So I don't wish the deconstruction process on anybody, but I do recommend it for everybody. And I do think it's part of living the faithful Christian life. But so the reason I don't recommend it, though, is it causes higher levels of negative emotion. And for two reasons, from a psychological perspective, we could talk about right and left hemisphere. Before you deconstruct, you're probably leaning more on your left hemisphere brain, which means you're living in a place that you understand well, and you have certainty about things. And then once you start to question things, you get pulled over to the right hemisphere, which is more tuned for places of uncertainty and the unknown and chaos. In the world of chaos and the unknown, more negative emotion exists. So when you start to question these things, you're going to experience more anxiety. And that's part of the challenge, but it's something that, you know, you can work through and you can build community that supports you in this. And hopefully I have a quote for the end that should paint a vision of how the church can facilitate healthy deconstruction. But then there's another element of it, which is, I mean, it can be an indictment of the church in ways it has failed with those who do start to question things, because there are more, it tends to be more fundamentalist or conservative churches, some evangelical churches, which is why there's a big ex-evangelical movement, because people started deconstructing and they weren't welcome in their church, so they moved out of the evangelical, you know, section of the church, right? But when you start to deconstruct in these spaces, oftentimes there are church people who, I think the driving force is fear. They have a, I think neophobia. They have a fear of new ideas. And honestly, I don't want to say it's new ideas though, because a lot of these ideas is, for me, I am somebody that considers themselves as somebody who has been deconstructing their faith. And I am not trying to come up with new ideas. I'm not trying to paint a new vision of God. I'm trying to return to an old vision of God. I'm trying to return to the person Jesus, because I build my faith on Christ. And so for the past 2,000 years, stuff has been tacked onto the Christ, and I want don't take this out of context, but our image of Christ needs to go through the fire. It needs to go through the purifying fire, and what will remain on the other side will be the essential Jesus in his fullness, right? So I understand the fear, because there are people that deconstruct, and they do end up walking away from the Christian faith. This isn't something that causes fear in me, because I believe, in 1 John 4:18, the scripture says, perfect love casts out all fear. So if we lean into God, who is the perfecter of love, then there's no place for fear. And two, I think we need to trust that even though people may have left Jesus, and I don't think saying they leave Jesus is the correct terminology here, but I'll explain that in a second. But just because it seems they have left Jesus does not mean they have left Christ. So sometimes you have to let go of your Jesus image, your conception of Jesus, in order to find the true Christ. And so for me, as a Christian, my Christian faith asserts that the Christ is Jesus. Okay. And of course I'm using Christ, that's Christian language, but, you could say Buddha was a Christ. You could say, I wouldn't say Muhammad was a Christ, but he was definitely a spiritual leader. I don't need to go down that path, but as a Christian, I believe Jesus is the fullest realization of the Christ. So sometimes it takes leaving that Jesus image to find Christ. So trust God, trust that God is, even if it seems like they have left the faith, that God is still holding on to them. And I mean, that's all you can really do is trust God with those of us who are deconstructing that we will, you know, I mean, what we're doing is we're looking for the way. Jesus says he is the way. So that's ultimately, at the end of the day, we are trying to find the way of life that is true and real and good and beautiful. And I hold on to the fact that is Jesus, but I am willing to offer up my conception of Jesus in order to get to the real thing. It's all about finding the real thing. So I would challenge you to open yourself up to questioning some of the things you've been taught and to trying to find the Christ, honestly. I mean, I know I keep using that language, and maybe I use that language different than other Christians would, but I think deconstruction is a way that we are faithful to God, and it's a way that we are faithful to each other. I'll give an example of deconstruction. Take women in leadership, for instance. You know, for a long time, the majority of churches were not allowing women leadership roles. And because there's passages in scripture that I think me and Paul will talk about soon. And I've been putting it off because I'd like to have a female guest on to share her experience. But, you know, if you return to the scripture and, well, maybe that's not what Paul means by those passages. Paul, the apostle, not Paul, my guest host, my co-host. But that's what deconstruction is about. It's looking at the Bible. It's looking at your faith and saying, maybe this is not as black and white as I thought. And part of deconstruction is accepting that we don't have all the answers and living in this tension. Living in this tension of what I would say is our God image. And we're in between our God image, our Jesus image, and the true God, the true Jesus, the true Christ, right? We're in between those things. And anytime we assume to have found it, anytime we say, this is God, and know for 100% certainty, like, this is God, like, we put him in that box, we instantly, the divine escapes the box, because God cannot fit into that box. So let me try to find this quote really quick by Ann Yulenov. She's a fantastic psychologist and theologian. She used to teach at Union Theological Seminary. But this is just a good vision for the church. I'm trying to make sure there's nothing else I want to say before I read this quote. I do want to say thanks for joining me on this episode. This is different. It's not as good without Paul here, but I still enjoy it. So she uses some Freudian languages here. She's not a Freudian herself, but she does use the Freudian concept of the superego, and she relates that as that's what the church is. The church represents the superego for the Christian. So she writes, when the church is associated with this sort of positive superego, it is experienced as life-giving. Here is a superego friendly to the ego without being wishy-washy, with an open attitude that accepts behavior rather than censors it. The superego does not stand apart in disguise either, wagging its finger at the ego. Instead, the superego instructs, inspires, encourages. Goodness knows we need that from the church. We need to hear from the church simply, clearly, that there is a God. There is joy and life abundant. Later, she says, all are invited to the banquet. And I think that's just a wonderful image for the church. The church should be a space to house all of these uncertainties and questions. That's what the church is about, is a place where we can come together as a community and live in the tension of the known and the unknown, and then go out and live our religion out. I mean, religion, bind all things together. We can go out and invite others to join us in grasping the tension and not giving up on this idea that being is essentially good, that there is goodness in the world, and that we ourselves, because Christ lives in us, are agents of creating even more good. So I think I'd like to go deeper with this topic later. I'm running out of time. I'd love to do an episode with Paul here so he can maybe offer some pushback or add some insight to what his faith journey has looked like. But I want to challenge you. I think, you know, with my understanding of deconstruction, I think all of us have deconstructed to varying degrees, maybe in minor ways. Maybe you started believing in women in leadership because you went to the text and you realized that maybe there's something else going on there. Or maybe you went as far as to believe maybe God is saving everybody. I mean, that was a popular belief in the first 500 centuries, and it seems to be on the rise again. People like Rob Bell are supporting this view. Hey, he deconstructed. He publicly deconstructed. Michael Gunger deconstructed. These are people that, you know, they've engaged with these tough questions, and they've come out at different places. And it is scary, but it's also exciting, and it's an adventure. And there's no reason to fear, because perfect love of God is casting out all that fear, and God is holding us up. God is giving us the breath to wake up each and every morning and to face reality. No matter what that reality is, you know what I'm saying? We may be like Descartes, and our ideas of reality are just crumbling, but the Christian faith is holding on to that there is a reality, and that reality is being held together by a benevolent, loving, perfect creator. So without further ado, wait, I don't know how I want to set this up. I'll go ahead and close on that. I'll say thank you to Maximize Digital Media. Thank you to Annie for editing this video and for putting up with my BS sometimes. And we'll catch you on the next one. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Oh, you're too much. No. Thank you. I clap for you.